66. Isaiah chapter 66, we'll be looking at verses 7 through 14 this evening. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I who cause to bring forth shut the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breasts, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knee, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice, your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. You may be seated. Please join me in prayer. Father, again tonight, thank you for your word. We pray that your spirit would keep us attentive and alert at this hour of the evening, that we might focus our hearts upon this passage of scripture, that your spirit might illuminate, make clear to us the truths in this passage of scripture, apart from my weaknesses in proclaiming that truth. May we be encouraged and built up in our faith tonight. May you be glorified through the foolishness of preaching. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue through this final chapter of the book of Isaiah, we come to this idea of peace like a river. I will extend peace to her like a river. And this morning, in the morning sermon, we talked about the promise of peace through the Prince of Peace. Tonight, we're going to continue that idea with the kingdom of God and God's blessings to his people here. And so much as we have studied over the course of our time in Isaiah, so much back and forth in this book, judgment, and yet God's grace to the remnant of his people. And as we come to these final chapters here, we are reminded of the final words of the book of Revelation as well. Water and life are mentioned in Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb to the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The river of life, peace like a river. Water in the desert, places, all imagery that we understand from God's word. Being thirsty and needing a drink of water to quench your thirst. John chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Living water. Peace like a river, the river of life. Here in Isaiah, we will look at this rejoicing that is now to take place over Jerusalem. Now, in the context of judgment, when judgment is coming, there's not a lot to rejoice about in that situation. And yet God is faithful to his people over and over again. There are those who still follow him. There are those who are faithful to God. And we need to remember those truths as you and I, as believers in Christ, as we look out in our world today, that we would not be discouraged by sin that's rampant all around us. And sin is discouraging. But we view the world with eyes of faith instead of with the flesh. We know what the Bible tells us. That we would not think that evil is in control instead of the Lord. God judges nations and He judges people. And God preserves and He upholds those who are His. His kingdom is advancing. He is faithful. He is triumphant. And so we rejoice in these triumphant words. Even if the world seems to be on fire all around us, we should rejoice in the Lord always and look to His promises and His faithfulness to see us through. For we are not governed by circumstance. And let me repeat that. We are not governed by circumstance. The seasons of life happen to us all. The good times and the bad ones. Joy and sorrow. Mourning and dancing. Laughter and weeping. But God is faithful. We read here of imagery of a new birth in the first three verses of this passage. In verses 7 through 9. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut the womb, says your God? And we read here of birth and new life. Now contrast that with the idea of suffering and death. She gave birth. She delivered a son. A land and a nation shall be born. Zion was in labor and God will bring this about. The Reformation Study Bible says in a note that this is the birth of the new community, the people of God. God will bring forth a new land, a new nation. We've already read earlier. In the previous chapter, in chapter 65, of a new heavens and a new earth. And I was reading in some of my studies this week, out of the Jewish mind, the temple was as heaven on earth, and the city of Jerusalem signified the pinnacle of the earth and the land. So that fact that in AD 70, the temple in the city of Jerusalem that God had chosen for Himself was destroyed by fire, it would seem to them as if the very heavens and earth had melted away, that they were gone. And of course, this new kingdom, this new heaven and earth being spoken of not only here in Isaiah, but also in the book of Revelation as well. Earthly Jerusalem is destroyed and is replaced with a heavenly one, the bride of Christ. The earthly temple where the offerings were made to the God of heaven and earth was destroyed. And now our bodies are called the temple of God because of the Holy Spirit within us. A new community. A new nation is birthed out of the old. God takes a remnant of His people and He grafts the nations in. Eden is restored. And we see that imagery in the book of Revelation as well in the final few chapters, that reversal of the curse of sin. Remember back in Genesis chapter 3 that we looked at last Sunday morning, that part of the curse of the woman was that there was going to be increased pain in childbirth. But now we read here that she gave birth before her pain came upon her. Before labor started, she gave birth. Painless. A reverse of the curse. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things in a fallen, sin-filled world? This is different. This is the work of God Almighty. A land that is born in a day. A nation in a moment. And this is God's doing. It is instant. Remember Jesus' cry upon the cross. It is finished. The work of redemption. Christ died, the one without sin, for those who were bound in sin. Death could not hold Him, and He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Have you ever considered how instantaneous salvation really is? Now we know that salvation is the work of God and not of man. No one can save themselves. We cannot earn our salvation. We're not saved upon the very moment of our belief, a profession of faith, claiming or stating that, yes, I believe in Christ. We like to talk in theological terms at times about the ordo salutis, which is Latin for the order of salvation. And we talk about all these theological terms, predestination, election. calling, regeneration, faith, repentance, justification, adoption, sanctification, perseverance, glorification. And all those are good terms. All of those are good concepts to know and to understand. For instance, we don't want to confuse our justification with our sanctification. But think about not just the process of salvation, but think about how God works in an instant. By the power of the Holy Spirit, hearts are changed. God regenerates us. And He gives us a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. He changes us, and that happens in an instant. And then we are able to have faith and are able to repent. Here we read about God brings forth children in an instant. Now from our perspective, we see a process. And notice how God will bring this about. God will give new birth. He will fulfill these promises. And as we've discussed before, God will redeem all those who are His in His timing. No one will be missing from heaven. Everyone that God the Father has redeemed through His Son will be redeemed. And this is a cause of great rejoicing that we read about here in verses 10 and 11. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. There is great joy after mourning, so rejoice. Now is a time for rejoicing, not for mourning. God is now doing a new thing here. Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 19. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. We're back in chapter 40, verses 18 and 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A new thing. Rejoice with Jerusalem. As Isaiah now looks ahead to the future again, we cannot forget that judgment is coming upon Jerusalem for those who are in Isaiah's immediate future. But in the distant future, in the latter days, as we looked at this morning in Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, in that passage, there will be much rejoicing and joy. The idea of a nursing mother providing all that a child needs there in verse 11. Isaiah 60, verses 15 and 16. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So we have that idea here in the book of Isaiah of the abundance that God provides, that He sustains. And also the idea of how the wealth of the nations will stream into Zion as well. And that nursing mother imagery is given in both cases. Abundance is yours. Provision is yours. You shall not lack. You shall not worry. God will bring it about and He will sustain it. And then we read the vivid language of the comfort of a mother in verses 12 and 13. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. I will extend to her peace like a river. Peace like a river. I read of the river of the water of life in Revelation chapter 22 at the beginning of this message. Water can provide sustenance, nourishment. We've looked at the difference between a dry and arid desert and the abundance that there is when there is water to cover the earth and to bring forth produce. Peace. Like a river. Peace like a river. Matthew Henry writes in his commentary, they shall enjoy a long uninterrupted course of prosperity. I will extend, or am extending, peace to her that is all good to her, like a river that runs in constant stream, still increasing till it be swallowed up in the ocean. The gospel brings with it, wherever it is received in its power, such peace as this, which shall go on like a river, supplying souls with all good and making them fruitful, as a river does the lands it passes through. Such a river of peace as the springs of the world's comforts cannot send forth, and the dams of the world's troubles cannot stop or drive back or carry us to the ocean of boundless and endless bliss. There shall be large and advantageous additions made to them. The glory of the Gentiles shall come to them like a flowing stream. Gentile converts shall come pouring into the church and swell the river of her peace and prosperity. For they shall bring their glory with them. Their wealth and honor, their power and interest shall all be devoted to the service of God and employed for the good of the church. And I like how Henry combines that imagery of the prosperity of God and the wealth of all the nations streaming in. And not just the physical wealth of the nations, but the people of God who are brought in. They are the real treasure. Peace, like a river. And we read this idea of peace, or even the lack of peace, whether or not you have peace, in many other places in the book of Isaiah that we've looked at before. Chapter 48, verse 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Or that familiar passage in Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Or chapter 54, verse 10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Chapter 54, verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Isaiah 55, verse 12. You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isaiah 59, verse 8. The way of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. And 59 verses 19 through 21. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, for he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. And a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you, and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your offspring, or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Isaiah 60, verse 17. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold, and instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make your overseers peace, and your taskmasters righteousness. Peace like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. Remember back in the book of Genesis when God told Abraham that his descendants would be more than the stars of the sky and more than the sand on the seashore? Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10 tell us, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. God will comfort, or bring comfort to his people who need comfort. I will comfort you. You will be comforted in Jerusalem. Isn't that a great promise? God says, I will bring great comfort. He's the one who wipes away every tear from every eye. He is the one who grants us true and everlasting peace. He provides everything that we need. Again, that's not everything that we want. We often want more than we need. But He provides all that we need. We are the most blessed of all the earth. I can think of no greater blessing than to be with God's people and worship this night. For you and I, as we're gathered here to end our Lord's Day together, it is a great joy. And we are not missing anything by devoting one day in seven to our God. We are not trading our souls. Instead, we are rejuvenating. We are refreshing our souls and being reminded of the most important truths in all the world. We are being reminded of the kingdom of God, of which we are a part, and this peace like a river, and this overflowing abundance that God provides to us. And so we rejoice in those things that Scripture teaches us. God gives comfort. God provides rest. God restores us. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall be made level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Comfort. Comfort. And then we read of the final blessings here in verse 14. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice, your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. You shall see. You shall see. Your eyes shall see. The very opposite of what we read earlier in this book and also in verses 5 and 6 in this chapter, which says, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hate you and cast you out for my name's sake have said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy. But it is they who shall be put to shame. The sound of an uproar from the city, a sound from the temple, the sound of the Lord rendering recompense to his enemies. God will judge his enemies, but he will cause his people to rejoice. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice in what God will do. Your bones shall flourish like the grass. And the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. All those who follow God shall know the great things that he can do, the great things that he does. His hand and how he acts and how he moves shall be known. And his enemies shall know his wrath. They shall know his indignation. They shall know. Those who are blind will still be blind. But the eyes of those who follow Christ shall be open to see the truth. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I once was blind to the things of God, not understanding the truth of God's word, but he opened my eyes so that I could rejoice in his goodness and his kindness to his people. May we see the truth. May we look for his truth. There's a lot of falsehood out there in the world. A lot of falsehood that we are going to hear over the next 6 days. But the more that we know God's word and the more that we know the truth, the easier it is to cut through all of the deception and to know what is right and true and what is false and what are lies. Peace like a river. We've been given that peace of God through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in what God has done for us. We rejoice in his kingdom. He has done something new. This is this new covenant with his people. But it's we who have been grafted in. God grafted the Gentiles into his church, his family, his kingdom. We have been adopted and have been called the sons of the living God. For that we rejoice. God has given birth to a new kingdom. Not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly one. As the Messiah came to earth, the curse of sin and death is now being reversed. And we see that in the little things like the language here of birth with no pain. Who's ever heard of such a thing? A land, a nation is brought forth. Not a literal land, as in the rest of the Old Testament. But Zion is the people of God, His people, His kingdom, a people for His own possession. And many children are streaming into Zion. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enthroned in heaven or enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. Rejoice with her and her joy as satisfaction comes with a nursing child. Peace like a river. The glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. Abundance, provision, and comfort. These are the things that God provides, that we are blessed with. Abundance, provision, and God's comfort. And we see the truth of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we rejoice in that truth. And our bones shall flourish. And the hand of the Lord is known to us. We know our God, and we know what He does. We are His servants, and we follow Him. So this evening I tell you to rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice in what God has done. Let us not take these many blessings here for granted. Let us not forsake our times of meeting together. Now, I don't know about you, but I need Sunday. I need to be reminded of the truths of my faith so when I face the world tomorrow, I can keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I can stand firm in the grace of God, and I can rejoice even through hardship and even through suffering that comes to us all. For He is good, and in His steadfast love, it endures forever. Will you please join me in prayer? Father, we thank You for Your steadfast love. We thank You for Your great promises. We thank You for that peace like a river. We thank You for Your abundance and Your comfort and Your grace. You have blessed us. We thank You for these words of truth from Isaiah. We pray that we would reflect upon them and meditate upon them this week, that we might leave here rejoicing. For there are many things that will come up in the next 6 days that will cause us to not want to rejoice. We will face hardship and trial. We will face struggle in life. We will face lies and falsehood. We will face sin, our own and others. Help us to keep our eyes fixed upon Christ. Help us to cling to Your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.